Okay, this is the third of our series of Chagei Tishrei, of getting ready for the Yom Naram. We had a shiur on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and today Sukkos. We could have a few shiurim on Sukkos. I apologize, but we're not going to. We're going to focus more on the Dal Minim in this year. Sukkah is also many, many, many halachas, probably more than Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, many halachas of Sukkah, but assuming that most people aren't going to be building their own Sukkah this year. But obviously important to know the halachas and another time, but if we're crunched for time, Dalad Minim is a Lamai Sukkah. Everybody has their own Dalad Minim. Baruch Hashem, we live in that generation, so one should know about beforehand, during, and after. And if we have time, then we'll get to some Dibri Hashkafa about Sukkos and the like. So again, this will be the last year for this man. Next Monday is Som Gedalia, and the following Monday is Yom Kippur. And then after Bez Hashem, next month, we'll get back to Halakha. Again, I think the first set of Halakhas we want to do is Bishul B'Shabbos. Right, I was told to do as much Lamaisa and what guys are going to need. So we got to work it out. So the first, I think, it'll be a month. It'll be hopefully we'll squeeze it into four Shiurim. It's really six, but I'll try to squeeze it into four. Bishul B'Shabbos. Again, everything that we could do. And then we'll take it from there. Probably some other, two Shiurim on Borer. Some of the more major Malachas. Then we'll do some Kashrus. We'll figure it out. Okay, so the Dalad Minim, we know there are two parts to two areas of our mitzvah of Sukkah, unique areas. We know there's a mitzvah of Simchas Yontif that applies to all Yom Tovim. We know there's other general issues, but we know the Sukkah is one topic, and the Dalad Minim is another topic. The Tosfos Chadashim, which is one of the commentaries on the side of the Mishnayos, comments that it's interesting that if you look in Torah Shebichsav, we have the pasuk in source number one, Ulakach Tam Mechama Yom Arishon, Priyat Sadar, Kapos Tamarim, right? We have the Dalad Minim, and then we have, if you look at the end of Parshas Emor, Basukas Teshu Shivas Yamim Sin Sukkah. So first you have Dalad Minim, and then you have Sukkah. But if you look in Torah Shebal Peh, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, many have learned Masechah Sukkah before, the first two prakim in Masechah Sukkah is about the Sukkah. And then the next two prakim are about the Dalad Minim, Lulav HaGazel. Right, that's a favorite in high school. Right, so that's the third parak. So why did Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi switch? From you put the sukkah before Dalad Minim, and Hashem puts Dalad Minim first. So the Tosfos Chadashim here quotes this from Levi Yitzchak Mibarditchev, and many others as well. Before Levi Yitzchak, the Klei Yakar talks about this, and it's based on the Gemara. The Gemara says it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always puts the covet of Am Yisrael first, and Bnei Yisrael always put Hashem's covet first. And that's why the Gemara in Brachas, what does it say in Hashem's tefillin? What does it say in our tefillin? Hashem al-Kin Hashem echad. What does it say in Hashem's tefillin? Mikam chayisol goy echad baaretz. Right? Parshas Matos. Right? Hashem says you got to take Nekama from Midian. So Hashem says to Moshe, go take Nikmas Yisrael from Midian. Moshe turns around and says, go take Nikmas Hashem from Midian. Right? We always put each other's covet first. There are many examples of this. But one of the examples is mentioned here. And that is Sukkah symbolizes basically HaKadosh Baruch Hu's godless. It's the Anane HaKavod. Right, Hashem surrounded us with clouds of glory for 40 years. Dalad Minim show, like, we go out with mitzvahs. We're going out with mitzvahs. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts Dalad Minim first, because that shows our godless. But we put Sukkah first, because that shows Hashem's protection and the Himnusa, sitting in the Tzila de Himnusa. Okay, that's just a Hashkafic thought to start off our time, and maybe just one other, just popped into my head, I'm going to forget it later, so I'll just mention it. It's a Sfas Emes, which is, you could use this any day of the year, but it's an awesome Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes says, right, we have Yom Kippur, and then, the question that he's answering is in Parshas Ha'azinu, Ulkachtem lechem b'yom arishon, take on the first day, create other kapos tamarim v'chulu. So we know that means the first day of Sukkos, but the Medrash says, what do you mean the first day? It's the 15th day. What do you mean the first day? So the Medrash says, Rishon l'cheshbon avonos. It's the first, the calculation of sins. What do you mean? The whole Elul, we're doing tshuva, and Sarasimi tshuva, we're focused on tshuva, and Yom Kippur, and Rosh Hashanah, we're so busy, we're doing tshuva. And after Yom Kippur, well, like for 4 days, it's the Sukkah, and the Dalad Minim is so busy. Those days are so full of preparation, and busyness, and we're done. Finally, Sukkah, we're sitting in the Sukkah. We shook our Dalad Minim. It's the first time we have a moment to think. It's the first day we could ever do an Aveira in like a month and a half. So, Rishon L'cheshbon Avonos. That's what the Medrash says. See, it's the Sfas Emes. I don't understand. up until now, the past 5 days, you're buying and you're building and you're this and you're that. You're just preparing for the mitzvah, and there's no time to sin. Now you're actually doing the mitzvah. Says the Sfas Emes, sometimes the preparation for a mitzvah could have more of a hashpa on a person than the mitzvah itself. Very Hasidic thought. Right? The preparation and what you put in to get ready for the mitzvah could have a more of a lasting impression on us than the mitzvah itself. That's the Sfas Emes in Parshas Hazinu, but that's Ulekach Lechem Hayom Harishon. Okay, so, but getting ready for the Dal Aminim. So this is part of that Achana, right here. Dal Aminim. So what do you look for and what do you have to know? So let's talk about each one separately. So Esrogim. So again, I'm going to, what you have in front of you should be, let's say, used alongside with the Shulchan Aruch, but I'm going to mention the Shulchan Aruch's outside if you don't have it. So the most important thing, by an Esrog is that it needs a Hechsher or some type of Ne'emanus, that it's an Esrog. And maybe that's where the phrase comes from, you know, he sold you a lemon. Right? Where did that phrase come from? Because maybe you got a lemon instead of an esrog. Literally. Because not as much nowadays, because nowadays all of our esrogim come in boxes and it's hopefully a neman. But in the days of old, a couple hundred years ago, and even nowadays, there's something called murkav in the poskim. Murkav. It is grafted. It's from like esrog and something else. Right? You need... There are certain misorahs, it comes from purity. I remember a couple of years ago, there was somebody that called me before Yantif. It was somebody who listens to some of my shiurim online. He says, "Reb, by Razor, I'm going to be in Israel for Sukkot. Could you?" He was staying in some fancy hotel. He says, "I'm inviting you and your family for breakfast on one of the days." I'm like, "Okay, great." So we went, and when I'm there, he gave me this esrog in a box, and on it it said, "From the tree, from the seeds of the Chazon Ish of Rav Steinman." I don't know exactly the story. There must be like, it's from the tree. I'm like, oh, from the tree. I don't know what tree it was talking about. Try to do some reaches afterwards, but it's like mamish purity, shiva purity, shiva purity, going back on Moshe Rabbeinu. Like nothing to do with Murkav, like on the other side of the universe. Like, I don't know, he said, "Yeah, I have 10 of these, I want to give one to you." And it was like every time I put it in my hand, I was like shaking. What's the issue? Totally not in the world of Murkav. It's not Murkav, it's not grafted. So that's what one has to look for. There's an interesting tshuva in the Shus Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov Reischer, 1700s, in source number 4, you can read it, where he talks about how the Shach was a little mako on Murkav. He said maybe he can make a bracha if it's a suffing Murkav. And he writes that the Shach came to visit him, right, and in the town, the Shach, the Sifsei Kohen. And he came to visit, and Horu Lahati Lavarachale B'Shas Adchak. B'Shas Adchak, you can make a bracha on the Murkav, based on a sugya that says Se Afilu Miksa Se Esrog Nimahachi. And the Chazan was about to make the bracha, and all of a sudden he dropped the Esrog, the pitim broke off, and they took it as a simim in Hashemayim that's not the correct psak. And that's a separate shiur about whether you can take simanim like that to change psak. But either way, the Shach apologized, and he re-researched the sugya, and we don't make brachas on Murkav, right? So we brachas lechumra, lehakel, but that is not really something that comes up so lemaisa. But what does come up lemaisa? What are the issues? Shinui mara, a change of color. A change of color. So what's shinui mara? So some talk about on the majority of the esrog, it's there's a change of color. That's very unusual. But that would passel. If most of the esrog is black, I don't really find esrogim like that. Number two, it has to be visible on all sides to be a problem, to be puzzle. That also doesn't really come up. What does come up? What does come up? The Shulchan Aruch in Tafresh Mem Ches Yud Beis, the top part of the esrog, where it starts getting skinny on top, Tafresh Mem Ches Yud Beis, there, Mechotmo ve'elach, literally from the nose, where it starts getting narrow on top. Dahainu mimakom shemaskel shapeya ad pitma, where it starts getting indented until the pitum on top. Posel chazazis, then a scab, a discoloration would passel. If it's on the top part, v'kol shini mara v'kol shehu, and any little color change would passel. So that's what we look for. So how closely do you have to look? So that's why basically when you get an esrog, the top third is the most important part to look at. Right? If there's something on the bottom, okay. If there's something on the bottom that looks like a spot, you might not want to take it because it might not be beautiful. It might not be hadar. But to say an esrog is puzzle, it takes a lot. So you got to look at the top third. and see there, is there a real discoloration? Is there a real spot? And what does a spot mean? What does a spot mean? Black or white are the problematic spot colors. Black or white. Brown generally is not a problem. Often they can be scraped off. Often brown spots come from like a leaf that was growing on it. And often it could be, you ever see an estrog tree. There are, that's, you know, people that there's a lot that could go wrong with an estrog as it grows. So you have estrog growers that like know what to look for. If there's a leaf that's getting close, you get the, so you know what to look for. But again, the top part of it is the key. But how do you look? Says the Mishnah Berurah. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Lamites. They were in Tafresh Memches. Afilu Kalshu Apostle, even a tiny drop of apostle, Shinira Shamla Einayim, Yosem Mishar Makomo Shabo, that is visible to the naked eye. Shaboso Shipua Adam Nosin Einav, because you would see it, and right when you look at the estrog, it would catch your eye. That's the discoloration. If when you look at it right away, it catches your eye, that is what is a problem. The Shulchan Aruch Harav also in source number 5, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, Mikom Makom Afilu B'Chotmo, even on the top part, Ein Chazos Posel Elam Ken Yishbo Shtei Babuos Lo Pachos, if it's a very small, and look what he says to continue, Veloshi Yitzarach Lo Hasim Iyun Eino Aleim Ad Sheyir Eim, not the type of spot that you need to focus on and look very closely in order to see. V'chein kol shinui mara eno posel elam ki nira l'rov b'nei adam pashkafa rishona. If you don't see it at first glance, don't worry about it. Right? There are those that go to great gedolim to take out a magnifying glass and to try to find a spot on top. That's not me'ikar adin. I heard b'shem Rav Yashem. People used to go Rav Yashem. If you look at my esrog, he used to hold it like this. Hands stretched out. Looking at it like this. Looks great to me. You put it up into your eye and you look like that's not needed. You see a beautiful esrog, there's no need to do that, and maybe one shouldn't even do that. One shouldn't even do that. Again, I don't know, should and should. If somebody thinks that they want to get a super duper man, okay, it's fine. I want to show you. Hey, take it back. Not that you shouldn't do that. You don't have to do that. And if you have a beautiful esrog in other ways, what are other ways? The esrog should like grab you. Just like look at it, you're like, maybe symmetrical. That's what you're into. It has a nice belt on it. It doesn't have a nice belt on it. You know, different things, but that also is important. How it looks, you know? A lopsided esrog. Okay, it's kosher, but if it's not hadar to you, so take a different one. You want to be mahadar in the mitzvah. So you got to look at everything. Again, the top part, if there's a black spot or a white spot that's clearly visible, problem. But most esrogan that you'll see will not have that. So that's what one looks for. Chaser. If the esrog is missing, if a part of it is scooped out, I don't know, maybe it was growing near a thorn, and you see a piece of it got cut out, so that's a problem. Again, not such a common thing, but chaser, that's Tafresh Memches Sivav. Sivav, if any part of it is missing, is a problem. The Shulchan Aruch talks about if part of it is peeled or there's a hole, a tiny hole, like a needle went through a part of it. So again, if it's not missing anything, so it's not possible. Again, if you could see the hole, then maybe you want to take a different one. But any type of slit or a crack should be avoided. Maybe it's missing something. One might not be sure. So that's why we look for cracks or slits. We try not to take those. Again, in the days of old, when it was much harder to secure Dalad Minim, you had to be a little more flexible in what you got. And but that's in terms of chaser. The pitum. So the pitum, again, different people have different minhagim. All my life growing up, I had a pitum. I felt I had a pitum. I had a pitum until I had my first child, and then I stopped getting a pitum. Didn't want to cause any potential shalom bias. Got to be roas, I know a lot. So I could forego my family minhag of getting a pitum, so I don't, I'm not violate lifnei iver with my children. So that's why, but it's fine. If it grows without a pitum, then at different esrog, it can grow different ways. You know, some, if the pitum grows off, like at the beginning of the stages as it grows, and it grows without a pitum, that's, right, an esrog, tree owner told me that basically all the esrogim have like something little growing up there as it starts growing, but a lot of them fall off. That's what it means, it doesn't have a pitum. But if it has it as it blossoms and it gets big, and you could see, if it loses the pitum then, so that would be called chaser. And that's why if a pitta breaks off, if your esrog has a pitta and it breaks off, that's a problem. How much of it breaks off? So the Mishnah Berurah, the Shulchan Aruch talks about this in Sif Katan, Sif Zayin, the Mishnah Berurah. If some of it is still there, a piece of the wood is still sticking up on top, maybe it's still kosher, only if it breaks off so much that the inside, like the part of it that's sticking inside, is missing. It's chaser. So maybe that's what the only problem is. Again, if somebody has a pitum that broke off, try to use another esrog. Try to at least lechumra, you know, at least for a moment, make the bracha on another esrog. What's the smallest size that a esrog could be? So the size of an egg. Right? It's the Mishnah, Masechta Shabbos, Masechta Sukkah, size of an egg. Even according to this Noda B'Yehuda, that our eggs are smaller than the previous, generally, you don't find too many esrogim that are so small, but the size of an egg. How big? I've seen some big esrogim. I was once at the Kotel, I saw an esrog the size of a watermelon. It was unbelievable, like the size. But there's also a picture online I once saw. They showed one of those to like Rav Chaim Kanievsky, like he's looking at it like this watermelon esrog. But in any case, that generally is not solomaisa. So that's hod esrog. So again, it should be beautiful to you. It's a very special mitzvah. It symbolizes the heart. Maybe we'll talk about that at the end. But that's in terms of esrog. Lulav. How yellow or green is up to you. Yeah, as green as you want. Some say if you put it in a bowl with apples, that it turns it more yellow. That's what I've heard. I've never tried it. Somebody also told me there was a whole case, I remember, I think it was Zilberstein, one of his farm, one of the Harevnas, you know, the what if. He had something about somebody told, some said, if you want to make it more yellow, put it in the microwave for a minute. And like, he did that and it got ruined. So like, does the guy said it worked for me? Does it? I don't remember all the details, but I remember like, there was an esrog in the microwave for some reason. Anyway, so the lulav. So a lulav is the key that one, if one chooses, that's what you got to look at. And a lot of people don't know what they're looking for by a lulav. They kind of like take the top point and they look around. Looks good to me, right? But if you've never chosen your lulav, and again, it's a good idea. So the Shulchan Aruch, right? We know a lulav. Every leaf of the lulav grows. Every leaf is double, right? It grows by itself on each other until you get to like the outer leaves and outer leaves and outer leaves until you get to the middle leaf. The Shulchan Aruch and Tafresh Mem Hei. Tafresh Mem Hei is Lulav. Tafresh Mem Hei Gimel. Say he's Mako if there's a problem with the majority of the leaves, that can make a Lulav. What's a problem? If the leaves are split. You know, every leaf grows as a double. They're folded on each other. So if most of the leaves are split, which is very uncommon, so that would be a problem. But the Ramah says, no, you focus on the middle leaf. You got to find the middle one. When you get to a lulav, you have to like take, be careful because you don't want to stretch it out too much, but take it and like follow up with your fingers to the middle. There's a middle leaf that grows like all the other leaves and they're stuck together. So find that middle leaf and see how closed it is. That's the key. That's the key. That middle leaf, how closed it is. So let's see. If the top of the lulav is chopped off, that's possible. If it's chopped off, that's possible. Pretty uncommon. But nechlika. What if it's split? So lechadchila, we try to get it not split at all. That's the hiddur of a lulav. When the middle leaf is not split at all, b'di'eved, it's kosher even up till rove. Even if it's a very split, up till rove of the leaf, going measuring it, let's say from where the spine starts till where the leaf is, as long as it's not the majority of that section split, it's kosher. So most lulavs that you'll see are kosher, because most of them are not split so much by that middle leaf. But lechadchila, we try to get it as closed as possible. Some people were asking me last week about the... The korah. The korah is that brown stuff in the back. It doesn't make it more kosher or less kosher. Sometimes if you have some korah, that helps keep the lulav closed in the back. Sometimes you have that brown stuff. You can't see the lulav closed. Okay, that's how it grows. It grows with all that stuff there. But there's no need. You know, there's no specific minhag for not. But that's it should be closed. That's it. The rest of the leaves is also good. To have a lulav that's like the outer leaves are in the inner leaf, that's like hiddur. The most important thing is the inner leaf. But if the other leaves are all like bouncing out, some people like ones where they're bouncing out because it's a good shaker, right? You know, how good is this Is this lula? How loud is it going to be? So again, sometimes, you know, maybe more kosher is like the ones that are like stiff, like they don't move. But it's like, come on, this is so boring. You're like, you don't hear anything. So again, depends who you are. It's kosher. You want a shaker so you can get it a little open. Just make sure you put one of those kosher gloves, whatever they're called, up top, one of the ties, so that when you can't shake like crazy, because then you can split the top leaf, and you don't want to do that. Also, just to note, by Hoshanis, be careful with your lulav for two reasons. The point might bang into something or someone, and that might ruin your lulav, but worse, you might poke somebody and hurt them. So one should be careful about that. We'll get to this later, hopefully, but there is a lechadchila. There's a lechadchila, the language of the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, I'm mentioning this now because that's to do with lulav. The language of the Shulchan Aruch of the Gemara. The language of the Gemara is that the lulav is in your right hand and the esrog is in your left hand. That's the language of the Gemara. So that's a lechadchila, that we shouldn't hold everything in my right hand. That's not what the Gemara or the Shulchan Aruch says. The Shulchan Aruch says, lulav in the right, esrog in the left. And we'll get the lefties. So, and you hold them together like this. The problem is if I hold it like this, then where's my sitter? So when you're saying challah, you're good. The sitter's on the shtender in front of you, on the table. So you can hold like this. But Hoshanas. So this is called a chumra that you better only do as a chumra because it also de kula. Because sometimes you might think, I learned in yeshiva, I got to have the lulav on my right hand. First of all, you did it for 1 second, you would go to the mitzvah. But I'm going to be very machmir during Hoshanas. So I'm going to have my sitter like this on my arms. I'm going to have my dalad minim like this. So I'm going to be poking the guy in front of me. You know, that's a chumra dasli de kula. It's terrible. You don't have to hold it like that for that. If you have a nice Hoshana card, and it's like, I don't know, you have one of these rings that goes on your wrist. They have all these fancy things now. That's fine. And then you can do the chumra. But make sure that it's fine to do that chumra, but just make sure it's not coming at somebody else's expense. So it's for your lulav and for the goodness of your friend. But either way, so be careful of the top. There is something called Tafresh Mem Hei Zayin. As we said, it's only pasul if it's spread out the rove. But there is something called a hymnic. Hymnic, the Gemara says. If it's a hymnic, it's a problem. What's a hymnic? It's only split a little bit, but it looks like a V on top. It's like split. Like you look at it, you see a V. So we just say, wait, it's only pasul if it gets all the way down. You're right. But if it's clearly split like a V, that's a problem. That's a problem. So again, not so common, but it could happen like if you smash your lulav into something. So that could be a problem. So be careful about that. We'd be puzzled even though it's only split a little bit. The lulav, the length of the lulav should be at least 4 tfachim, which is between a foot and, which is a third of a meter. A foot and a couple of inches more, depending on whose shear you hold of. Most lulavs are that length. There is something called in Yiddish, called a kneppel. I don't know too much Yiddish, but a kneppel. What's a kneppel? So the Rush talks about it. The Rush says, I loved using a lulav with a kneppel. He didn't say the word kneppel, but I don't think. But the Shulchan Aruch talks about this in Sif Tes, the last Sif, Tafresh Mem Hei Tes. If the top of the lulav is bent over, like the top of it is like bent, is that a good thing or not a good thing? So the Shulchan Aruch says, it's pasul. Not a good thing. The problem is the Rush said, I love those lulavs. They stay together very well. So some poskim, I think I gave you some poskim, if you look in the Piskei Tshuvas in source number 8, and then he quotes from the stipler on the Chazon Ish, took regular lulavs and made a bracha on a regular lulav without a kneppel, but to be Yotze, the sheet of the Rush. The Rush said, I love the kneppels. They held it afterwards for a minute, and they were Yotze. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes. V'arush kasav, ohev ani yoser latzesbo, she'en ha'alin nechlakin, v'tiyomato kayemes. If it's like in a nice little, like, closed thing, if it's like bent over. So there are certain chassidim, there are certain people, they dafka get kneppels. Okay, whatever, that's, it's in the Rishonim. Did the Rishonim. So if that's the family minhag, do it. Otherwise, one should not use it. If the whole lulav is bent, sometimes you get like a bent lulav, that's okay. Like sometimes the whole lulav is not like straight up, it's bent, that's fine. This is just talking about if the top little bit is like this little like cane looking. So that's when it is a problem. So that's the esrog and that's the lulav. Hadasim. So there's one requirement for a hadas, right? Avos. avos. Anaf eats avos. What is avos? So the Gemara says three leaves all coming out from the same line. What's also called mishulish. Mishulish, triple. The leaf should come out on the same line. So that's most, a lot of hadassim. That's what you look for. Most of the hadassim that you're going to get are going to be packaged. Going to be packaged. And the difference between the packages is just going to be how much of the hadas is guaranteed to have mishulish. Right. Chazon Ishir, Rav Chaim Noah Shir, that's going to be the difference. They can see like the what's Chazon Ishir about? The Shir, the amount that the mishulash is on the hadasim. So again, it's best to be three tvachim, but how big is three tvachim? Right, so that's the issue. If the leaves get dried out, they're pasul. Generally, our leaves don't get dried out. You know, the hadasim, right? The withered is okay. If they're hanging, if they look a little, like my mother used to say, those leaves look pretty sad. You know, they're like hanging down. They're not. So again, hadasim, we don't always check. And oh, by the way, everybody has their own, I forget what I do every year, like, do you just put it dry in the fridge? Do you like put it like with a wet paper towel with tin foil around it? Do you like every year? I'm like, did it work last year? Did it not work? What was the good? What was good? So, and every year, so you try your best, and you know, and it's hard. Also, this year is going to be a little harder for you because it's like Ben Asmanim, and you're going to be traveling possibly from one place to another place. So do your best, and with that. But again, Ramosha Feinstein, you know, had the same lulav for 3 years in a row. During the wartime, when he was in Russia, he writes that he was only one lulav in the whole town, Luban, where he was the Rav. The early tshuvas of the Yerush Moshe were in the Luban before they were in New York. But the Luban, so he writes that he had the lulav of the town and he kept it in like some container 3 years. We think we know what does lulav ayavish mean. You know, oh, guys, by the end of Sukkot, it's getting a little dry. We don't know what a lulav ayavish means. You know, give me a couple years and then we'll know. But anyway, so hadasim, as long as they're mishulash along the way, it's fine. What if the top is cut off? I had that last year. One of my kids, we got one of these like package things. We took it out and the top was broken. Like, whatever. We were home and it's not like you could like go back and, you know. So according to the Rambam, Nektam Rosha was fine by Hadassim. Nektam Rosha was kosher. The Ravid argues, and we generally try to be machmir on that. But that's the tough, tough Reish Mem Vav. Sif Yud, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, like the Rambam. At least he quotes the Rambam. Nektam Rosho, Kasher, V'yesh Postlim, Nektam Rosho. The Rambam says, V'tov L'Hachmir, B'Makam She'efshar Ba'achir. Right, if you don't have any others, then you can use that. The Rambam, though, notes, Nektam Rosho means if some of the branch got broken on top. If the leaves went all the way up, sometimes this happens. If the top few leaves fell off, but the branch is still whole, that's not called Nektam Rosho. That's still Kasher. Nektam Rosha was only a part of the branch got cut off. One should be careful, and this is very lamaisa. You know, most of us use those like holders. Like you put the lulavs in one. I think Chabad doesn't. They just like put it right next to the lulav and tie it around. But I think most of Klal Yisrael uses those. I think they're called kasher lovers. I don't know what they're called. But you know, the white things with the two arms coming out. So be very careful when you stick the hadassim and the ravos in. Because sometimes we'll like smash it in and like the leaves are going to come off. So you got to put it in very slowly. Got to put it in very slow. There's nothing wrong with the leaves being covered by that thing. We assume because it's min bamino. It's not a chatzisa. But just be careful when you put it in. So it says in source number 9, it says one should insert the hadasim slowly and carefully, pressing down on the edge of the compartment to widen the hole. In this matter, the hadasim can be inserted without any leaves falling off. Just be careful about that. Okay, aravos. So aravos, as long as has the least requirements. As long as most of the leaves are still on, it's okay. That's Taf Reish Mem Zayin, Sif Beis. As long as Rov Aleha, as long as most of the leaves are still on, right? The Aravos are really the only item that you might have to switch during Sukkos. Because the Aravos get dried out pretty quickly. And they're all around. By the fourth day sometimes. Look at the Aravos, if they're really dry and yellow and falling off. So then it might be a good idea to change your Aravos. Good. So this is in terms of the Dalet. So the Maisa Netila. So the Shulchan Aruch, it's a whole simon about the Netilas Lulav. Taf Reish Nun Aleph. Mitzvah Zarba Minim, you have to take all of them. L'chadchil, we take them all together. Technically, you can take them one after another. But we take them all together. We tie them together even. right? Eged, we put it all together. Lulav, no tzarach eged, ain't tzarach eged, but we do a lechatchila for hiddur mitzvah, the way it's supposed to be, as the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch says, you have the lulav in your right hand and the hadassim in your left hand, hadassim on the right, the aravos on the left. Right, and then the esrog in the other hand. What about a lefty? Machlokas b'chaber in the Ramah. Machlokas b'chaber in the Ramah. What about a lefty? Does this switch like tefillin switches or not? The Shulchan Aruch says this does not switch. Doesn't matter if you're a righty or a lefty. The lulav's in your right hand and the esrog's in the left hand. This doesn't have to do with tefillin. And the Ramah says, no, you switch it. You flip it. The esrog, the lulav is in the left hand and the esrog is in the right hand for lefties. If you want to look at a great makar, the... Rav Chaim Knievsky wrote a svarim on all of the Maseches Ketanos. So on Maseches Tefillin, so he has two pages there, and it's all Hilchos Tefillin, where he has seven categories of mitzvos and minhagim about righty-lefty issues. Things that have to do with being on the right side of Hashem. Things that have to do with the stronger hands. So he categorizes all righty-lefty issues. When you take your step back, do you go the left foot first? Everything. So, and this is a machlokas, and this is this. I think he has 87 things that he talks about, righty-lefty. Yeah.
Ravosana doesn't do it switch.
What?
Ravosana doesn't do it switch.
Hadassim and Aravos do not switch, I don't think. I think you just move it over. Move it over. I remember I had a friend who was a rabbi once, and not once, but he was, and he, every sukkah on the first day, he gets up and says, he's a lefty, he gets up at the top and he says, don't do what I do, because usually you look at what the rabbi's doing. Oh, I forgot, I was supposed to be on the left side. Like, don't do what I do, I'm a lefty, and I flip. The Ramah says to flip it like tefillin. The nota of Lubi min kol adam, okay, yivarech al netilas lulav v'shechiyanu. So our minhag, again, this is machlokas rishon and what you're supposed to do, right? Because the Gemara says mida'ag be nafak be. When you picked it up, you already yotzei. Na'nuim are hiddur mitzvah. But, you know, that right when you picked it up. So what do you mean? I want to get my bracha over lasiyasan. But if I picked it up, I'm already yotzei. So some say, okay, make the bracha while it's on the table and then pick it up. Some say that. Some reshown him. The minhag of Klal Yisrael generally is to pick up the lulav and the esrog upside down. Because the halacha is, you're only yotzei the dalan meaning if you hold them derek edelasan, the way that they grow. So it's hard to have the lulav upside down. So just, you know, the lulav is fine and the esrog. Others have this. Others, a third option is to have kavanah shelo latzeis until after the bracha. That's a third option some Rishonim talk about. Tosfos and Maseches Sukkah talk about all these options. But the most common minhag is you hold the esrog upside down. You make the bracha and then you flip it over and then you hold it. Holding it already is the minhag is to shake it in all the different directions, different minhagim, Ashkenaz, Sfard, in the different directions. They always found cool the Bikurei Yaakov. Right? The Aruch Laner, Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger, has a number of svarim out. His most famous sefer is the Aruch Laner on like six different Masechtas and Shas. But he also wrote, his first sefer that he wrote was the Bikurei Yaakov, which is a sefer on Hilchos Sukkah and Maseches Sukkah. So he calls it the Bikurim. It was his Bikurim. It was his first sefer. So the Bikurei Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger, Germany, 1800s. The Rebbe, I think, of Rav Hirsch, maybe 1700s, or Talmud of Rav Hirsch. No, I think of the Rebbe of Rav Hirsch, I think. But anyway, he says he has a suffolk. What happens if you use an esrog in Israel that was grown in Australia? Is it derek edelasan if you hold it straight up because it grew upside down? It grew on the other side, the way the earth is facing the other way. So maybe you have to hold it. And he says, nah, probably not. But he brings up that question even. Amazing, fascinating question. Yeah, he brings up the question, maybe you should hold it upside down because that's the way it grew in Australia. But he's that's the suffix. But again, our minhag is generally to make the bracha. If you picked up the esrog by mistake straight up, you don't have to turn it back upside down. You already did the mitzvah. It's not going to help you. So just make the bracha. Make the bracha then. You can make the bracha. We paskin even as you're doing the mitzvah. We only paskin that you can't make the bracha after you finish the mitzvah. But if you're still doing the mitzvah, you picked up the esrog straight up, it's fine. Don't be so... So it's fine. It's fine. You can do that, and one can do that. Different minhagim about nanuim. We should follow the minhag of the shul, and you know the minhag of Hoshanas. Yeah, there was a hand up. Yeah. You can use your family. I think most shuls have at least some people doing the other minhag. So I think you could follow your family minhag. I do it. Most of my shul davens Ashkenaz. Right? So I grew up in a shtiebel, so I do my father. My father always shook it the other way. You know, first right, right? First right, left, straight, up, down, back. Right? That's the Nusach Sfarad way. But most other people do make a circle and then up, down. So again, once your father, family custom, that's fine. Yeah. The lulav rings, you should put them so the lulav holds together. You don't need those, but it's good for protection. So lulav, keep the lulav together. And you'd have to use those things because those are lulav. Those things are lulav. I don't know.
You could pull off these over the lulav to make them?
Yes, if you need, if you don't give enough, you're allowed to pull off from the side of your lulav some of those in order to make the things, if you need. After Yantif, your lulav is, and Dal and Minim are all, they're Tashmishe Mitzvah, not Tashmishe Kedusha. Meaning they do not have to be buried. They don't have inherent Kedusha, like anything connected to Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzah. Anything related to Sefer Torah, a Mezuzah box, Tefillin boxes, a Tefillin bag, all have to be buried. That's Tashmishe Mitzvah Kedusha. Tashmishe Mitzvah has Kedusha while it's been used. You can't use an esrog for anything else on Sukkos. Besides the mitzvah, dal and minim and shofar, and so what the minhag is to hold it and burn it with the chametz. You're not burning your lulav. There's no mitzvah to burn a lulav. When you hold it, you save it. There's a mitzvah to burn chametz. So once you use the lulav for one mitzvah, so you save it to help you build a fire to burn your chametz. But you're not burning the lulav. There's no mitzvah to burn a lulav, right? If you don't want to save it, you put it in a bag and you throw it out, right? Just like shofar, just like tzitzis, just like Schach, all of that is Tashmishe Mitzvah that does not have to be buried. You shouldn't treat it in a Bizoyan way. Right? You don't, if somebody has tzitzis that are puzzle, you don't put them in the kitchen garbage with the chicken bones. But you put it in a plastic bag and then you put it in the garbage. Right? Because once Tashmishe Mitzvah does not have its kedusha anymore. Okay, let me just end off with one Dvar Musar, or one or two, we'll see what we have time for, but just one thought that I like to quote again. It's something that you could use. You could use outside of Sukkos too. So we know the Medrash tells us that the Dal and Minim are all connected to different parts of our body. Right, the heart is the esrog is the heart, and the lulav is the spine. What, did I give this to you at the end, this part? I think I gave you some of the part. Yeah, I gave it to you. Yeah, it's at the end. It's in the Shemana Tov, source 11. So the esrog is the heart, and the lulav is the spine, and the aravas are the lips, and the adasim are the eyes. So Shem HaTov, his name is Rabbi Dov Weinberger. He has seven Sfarim out, seven volumes. He was a Rav of the Young Israel of Williamsburg. He was Nifter a couple of summers ago. There was a Young Israel in Williamsburg. Yes, there was. So he notes, he asks, I don't understand. Three out of four are parallel. One esrog and one heart. One spine and one lulav. Two aravos and two lips. Three hadasim and two eyes. Right, so what's the extra hadas? So you might say it's the eye of understanding. Right? Eye of understanding, meaning like let's say you're fighting with your chavrusa, they say, oh, now I see it. What do you see? I don't see anything. Right? But seeing is understanding. Right? The first pasuk in Parshas Vayera, it talks about Avram Avinu, it says he saw the Malachim twice. First it says Vayar, he saw. Then the second time Vayar, Rashi quotes that he understood that they were in need. So Vayar can mean the eye of understanding. Okay, fine. But there's another shot that he gives, that a Jew always sees things in three tenses, past, present, and future. A Jew lives built on the past with an eye towards the future to get the most out of the present. Avar, Hove, and Asa. Those are the three eyes of a Jew. And it's a Beferish mission in Pirkei Avos. Right? Histakel b'shlosha dvarim ve'ena tabalidei avera. Look, histakel, look. Me'ayin bata, where did you come from? Past. Ulana to'olech, where are you going? Present. V'nemi atasidin v'cheshbon, future. By the way, you got to have different Torah for all your Sukkos meals, so start saving up. And that's also, he says, the three avos. The three avos symbolize Avar, Hove, and Asid. Which three? Yitzchak Avinu. He was the first born Jew. He was the first Jew to get his, first boy to get his bris milah on day 8. he symbolizes perfect past, perfect beginnings. That's Yitzchak Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, the first Av, whose children were all tzaddikim. He didn't have Yishmael or an Esav. Mitaso Shlema, children symbolize the future. Yaakov Avinu symbolizes the future. And Avram Avinu, he spent his time being Megayer and spreading the monotheism and being involved with spreading, right, the spiritual parade, Hove. That's Avra Hove and Oza, the three eyes that all Jews have. We have to recognize, always have an eye towards the past, with an eye towards the future, what we want to accomplish. Maybe one other... One other thought. Okay, very quickly. Nisach HaMayim. The only time, every day in the Beis HaMikdash, they poured wine. Nisach HaYayim. For a week in the Beis HaMikdash, they poured water. The Avodah of Nisach HaMayim only took place on Sukkos. What's the symbol of Nisach HaMayim? So Pashup Shad is that we daven for rain, because it's the start of the rainy season. But I heard B'Shem Rav Gifter. Rav Gifter once said, he said, sometimes you speak to people after a natural disaster. Like there was like some type of terrible something, right? And they say, you know what? I'm just happy to be, they lost everything. I'm just happy to be alive. I could get by with basics. I'm just happy to be alive. After we've been through the Yom HaNorayim, we've been through when everything was on the line, we symbolically say to Hashem, we don't even need the wine. Water's great. Water is fine. The Avoda Nisach HaMayim. The only day of the year we pour wine and water. Nisach HaMayim. Okay, there's a lot more, but hopefully we'll have some other time to talk about these things. Shkoyach, everybody.